Hello, it's Richard Herring here. Welcome to my podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. And my stand-up tour is about to begin. Can I have my ball back? First stand-up tour in 6 years. Many of you just know me from the podcast. Don't know, I've done 14 or 15 stand-up tours in my own right. I'm a brilliant stand-up comedian, and can I have my ball back? I think it's my best show ever. That's what the audiences are saying. It's about testicular cancer, but it's funny because testicles are funny even though cancer isn't. I'm really pleased with it. I'd love you to come and see it. Bring your friends. Some of the shows selling really well, some of them selling really badly. It's a traditional Richard Herring tour. But here's where I'm going to be. 2nd of May, Thursday at the Luton Hat Factory. It's a small venue, but there are still tickets left. 3rd of May, I'm at the Bury Hedge End, which is near Southampton. That's looking more full, but still some availability. 8th of May, I'm at the Leicester Square Theatre. There's about 10 tickets left for that one, though I am back at the Leicester Square Theatre in June. And then I'm at St Albans on the 9th, Gloucester on the 10th, Chorley Little Theatre on the 11th. That's sold out, but you can join the waiting list. And then the 12th of May, I'm at Glasgow. Afternoon show sold out. Evening show, extra show, put on, still with tickets. And then there's lots more. Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs. And now, enjoy whatever podcast I've given you. It's free. It's all for you. If you want to pay me back, buy a book, come and see a show. That's all I've got to say to you. Love you.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man whose wife has been vomiting all night long. He hasn't had any sleep and is quite worried he may have picked up one of the bugs she had, so may vomit on you during the show tonight. It's Richard Herring! Oh yeah, I don't need sleep. I don't. No illness can hold me back. Welcome to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Or as I know, some cool kids I saw. I was at a pop concert, a Mick Jagger concert, and the kids there were calling it Leicester Pub. I said, "Oh, that's good." It's been quite a week. I have no sleep today, so this should be an interesting. Not because of my baby, because of my wife. Who some would say is no. Okay, we'll go there. And I've got a lot of excitement. The Limmy episode went out the week that I recorded this, and a lot of people were seeming gleefully happy that in that episode, which I recorded in July, I predicted that there would be a terrible shooting. I was doing a joke about shooting. I said, there'll be another one when this goes out. And there was. And everyone was going, well done, you predicted that. It wasn't really a prediction so much as just a rueful observation of the fact that there's one all the time. So it wasn't really. But given that I am Nostradamus, this episode will go out on the 28th of October. And I'm pretty certain in the week this goes out, a major political figure or royal member of the royal family will be shot dead. So that's my prediction for this week. If it comes true, I win the fence as well as the barbecue. So, Dennis Healy died in the week of 98 years old. Dennis Healy. I don't know if some of the youngsters are aware of him. I'd actually met him on a tube once. He was on the tube, that's the kind of guy he was. Within the last 10 years, so he must have been in his mid to late 80s. And I saw him. I was sitting down, and he was standing up. So I offered him my seat out of respect for all the work he'd done. He said, "Oh, are you saying I'm an old fart?" And refused to take it. So that's the kind of guy he was. I got this through the door. So I'm quite a sceptical person, but I got a leaflet through my door in Shepherd's Bush for the famous astrology centre. And if this guy is, it's by a guy called Ravi Shankar. I'd wondered what he'd been up to. He's been quiet for a few years. So it's good to see he's back. He's moved away from being dead and playing music.
and moved into astrology. But surely if he's any good as an astrologer, he would know that I don't believe in astrology and wouldn't have posted this through my door. It would save him. If he's a good astrologer, he would just post it through the door of people he knew were going to book. He'd just look into the future, see who booked, what their address was, and just do the 10 leaflets so that he can't. But it makes me think maybe he is a really good astrologer and he knows that I, even though I don't believe in him, I will still go. That's why would he have posted this? So I am going to go and see him, because otherwise, why? He's that's how good he is as well. He knew I would, and he did. I quite like the things he promises. It's 300 years traditional. Don't know what that means. But he can help you out on all sorts of things. My favourite bit was, are you disappointed meeting astrologers and not getting solutions? I am disappointed in that. It's like he knows me. Then please come and meet God-gifted spiritualist Pandit Ravi Shankar and get permanent solutions to all your problems. I mean, that's a pretty bold... Not just... Permanent solution. I mean, the only permanent solution to all your problems is death, though, right? So that is, you're just coming, you're stabbing, and there you go. So slightly terrifying. But if you want to check him out, he's in Shepherd's Bush Market. It's the world famous astrology centre, it says. The famous astrology centre, which is half a mile from my house, and I had never heard of till that came through. Anyway, look, we're going to crack straight on with our guest. He's probably best known as the host of Gas. That's why you are here to see him tonight. Will you please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, it's Lee Mack, ladies and gentlemen. Lee Mack. Lee Mack. Come in, sit down. Pull up a mic. Lovely, got a seat, that's lovely. Sit down, pull up a microphone. Lee Mack, if that is your real name.
It is my real name, yeah, yes. Good. Is this a real show?
Yeah, it's all real. It's all. So what do you remember about Gas? We'll just talk about Gas for the first half of the interview.
Well, the amount of people that come up to me on a daily basis and say, are you Lee Mack from Gas?
Yeah.
And I go, yeah. But I've got that face that makes me think they're talking about gas installation. No, I that was what, about 97? I mean, you've done research. You don't remember it, do you?
I don't really remember it.
I barely remember it, and I was the host of two series.
But there were some good people in it.
There was, yeah. Peter Kay, Tommy Tiernan, I think, did it.
Yeah.
The Mighty Boosh did it. Yeah. Well, they weren't the Boosh then. They hadn't been separated then. There was just one person then. who else did it? Oh, I can't remember.
What, two series, just, that's was all it, I remember. Was it a stand-up show?
It was a showcasing the new talents of Britain. Ah. On Channel 4, that's the way they build it. Good. And they got me in to host it, and I've been going for about 2 years, and I would be the first to admit that I wasn't equipped to do that at the time. And also, if you can be bothered Googling it and looking on a thing called YouTube, I don't know if you know about that, Richard.
Okay, yeah, I've seen some stuff on there.
You can see me, and I am about 9.5 stone.
Nice.
And here I am now, 20 years later, I'm now 50% more of a human being. Not spiritually, I should add, than I was back then. I'm 50% heavier. I'm 14 stone now.
Yeah. Well, it goes up and down. That's what I've discovered.
My career or the week?
Yeah, yours is fairly going. Well, since Gas is going
since
up.
Since Gas. But it went down after that.
Yeah.
Because the best thing about Gas was that you could introduce, because there was a producer, and I used to love just going, this is Sandy, she's the producer of Gas. And that, for me, was enough to warrant doing two series of it.
I think you should have done more series. That is. So, hey, I've been reading your book.
Why are you filming the audience?
Just for fun, just in case they do something interesting, just because people can't believe.
I thought it was like on player cam. You specifically want to know what that woman was doing.
People can't believe that blokes like that come to the show. When in the audio, I say, you know, there's nerdy blokes in the front row, and people go, yeah, but there aren't. It'll be full of attractive women. And then I can just show them those. I mean, I'd pay these three men to sit here. I mean, really, can you think of three more typical comedy nerd fans than those blokes?
Do they fairly reflect your demographic?
They do. It's like they've won. It's a game of guess who of nerdy fan. Do they wear glasses? Yeah. Oh, it's all of them. have they got a beard? Only one of them's got a beard. Weird.
Are they there every week?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they're not obsessed.
Richard, you can't have it both ways.
I don't think they're going to kill me. Normal way.
I think the sentence "they're not going to kill me" is all right, but if it's got the word "think" in it, it gets me a bit edgy.
Yeah,
I don't think my dog will bite you.
I'm slightly scared of them. I know him less than the others, so he's more of he could be a Dave Chapman kind of Mark Chapman sort of figure. I'm not giving you an autograph, mate, just in case. It's quite a clever joke. So that's quite... I've been reading your autobiography. It's good.
Have you?
I wasn't going to.
Well, yeah, of course you were. Research.
I wasn't going to. Yeah. And then I thought, oh, I'll get the first chapter free on Kindle.
Yeah.
And then it was...
To be fair, you get the whole thing for about £1.
I know. It's £5.49. I want you to know I spent on you.
On Kindle?
Yeah.
Really?
And I read. I was going to just do that for free. And then I thought, no, it's good. I'm going to read another couple of chapters.
So overall, today, I'm being paid £5.49.
You are.
No, of course, I'm going to get about 20th of that, aren't I? Okay.
There is a fee as well. You'll get a fee, so don't worry.
Do I get a fee for this?
You get a fee.
I thought it was genuinely just get a bath time at home.
Everyone does.
I was hoping you'd talk a bit too long and I'd miss bath time. I genuinely worked that out the way I thought. If he goes on a little bit too much, I could just miss bath time. It's about a 10-minute window.
Do you not enjoy bath time?
I love bath time, but, you know, it's about to my wife bath herself. Come on! The glasses have been worn tonight just in case I need to do that now and again. No, I do enjoy bath time, yeah. But is there any activity you do with the kid? Well, you've got a little baby.
No,
but
little
as they get older, you'll realise that bath time, cleaning their fucking teeth. Well, I think that cleaning their teeth should stop at about 6 or 7. I don't mean forever. They should do their own. I'm not that northern. So, I mean, come on, clean your teeth. But my wife insists that we do it properly, so we get right in there, and I'm like, and I've got to do it to three children. Oh,
yeah. I've only got one child, and she's only got two teeth, so it's quite easy
you're
at the
right.
moment. I actually have to extend it. I do all the rest. I do the top as well, even though there's nothing up there.
I've only got one wife, and she's only got two teeth. Horrific accident it was, but anyway.
But it's a very interesting... Unlike some of these university comedians, you know the type of guy I mean.
University types.
They go to university and then just become comedians straight away. You had some kind of life before.
I did, yes. I didn't go to university. Well, I did go to university, but at the same time I started stand-up.
Yeah.
So I sort of did it a weird way around. I left school at 15, which I appreciate is like something from the 18th century. But that's only because I turned 16 in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, so I didn't really leave school at 15, but it just gives me an extra feeling of I deserve to be here more than you, Richard, because I've had to work my way up through the coal mines. But actually, I just left and actually went back to college and resat my O-levels. But I never talk about that because it doesn't sound as hard-working and northern, does it? So, I left school at 15 and then I didn't start stand-up till I was about 26.
Yeah.
So I had 11 years. I had to think about that. That's why I needed a better education. So, yeah.
I did
work.
Yeah.
You're going to list my jobs?
I've found out a few of them.
Okay.
This is quite an obscure one. You picked apricots. I don't think you've mentioned that in your biography.
No, I worked... Most people... I mean, I'm not going to lie. I've done many interviews over the years, and everyone always mentions the fact that I once worked with Red Rum and rode him. And you've gone straight in with a fucking apricot story.
Yeah.
Which is just dull. I'm surprised you didn't make the
book.
In the book, I would imagine it was just on a list. I just got any anecdotes about it.
I found it in one interview on the internet.
Yeah,
I haven't read it about it in the book.
I've probably got an anecdote about all the jobs I've had, but the reason I don't mention the apricots is it always goes nowhere. Because I always go, oh, the apricot picking, yeah, well, I used to pick apricots and occasionally raspberries, and that's all I've got on that.
Do you know apricots contain cyanide?
That's apple pips, isn't it?
No, it's apricot seeds. Because I nearly choked to death on an apricot. So that's why I was so interested in the apricot story. As I could have blamed you. It could have been a very slow
burning. Did you choke to death on an apricot?
Stone.
The apricot. You didn't just put the whole thing in.
Although you could.
Was it during your gorging days?
It was recently. I was very tired from looking after the baby and everyone was out and I was eating an apricot. And I've never eaten an apricot, like a fresh apricot before.
Right.
I was amazed to see them. You wouldn't be as mate. You'd seen them back in the 1980s. But I saw one in Tesco and I couldn't believe my eyes that they were selling fresh apricots. Because I'm from the 1960s when they came in tins.
Yes.
And now they come on trees, apparently.
Yes, they do. Still in the tins, though.
Yeah.
You've got to pick the tins off the tree.
And so I'd never eaten an apricot, and then I ate this apricot, and then I was so excited and a bit tired that I accidentally ate the whole thing, and then I realised what I'd done and was convinced that it was lodged in the back of my throat and was about to die. And I was embarrassed, because I realised people would find out I'd been eating apricots.
What's wrong with eating apricots?
Well, I thought that's like a bit vain, isn't it? Eating apricots, are you? Not apples and oranges, not good enough. I'm glad
you're dead.
I'm glad you choked.
You've slightly got a high opinion of yourself than you should have.
Yeah.
I won't worry about that, Richard. I think people generally have an opinion of you that's not going to be changed with an apricot.
They will. Those people would never dream I would eat an apricot. If they knew I ate apricots, they would turn against me.
Them three would, wouldn't they?
They would. They've never eaten a piece of fruit in their life.
Imagine if this next week was the only week they never came back. Didn't like the apricot business. I always had him down as a non-apricot man.
They might have gone home and eaten some apricots and died. There's cyanide in it, so I'd eaten an apricot stone. I was terrified, but there's only a tiny
bit. Oh, you see, because all right, so it wasn't apricot. You do it choking. You just thought, oh, it contained cyanide.
I thought I was going to choke, and then it didn't choke, and then I went on Twitter, and then someone told me they contained cyanide.
I think if they contained enough cyanide to kill you, you would have found out by now about not eating them. They wouldn't sell them in the shops, would they?
Might say, warning, contains cyanide.
It wouldn't be a warning. They would say, don't sell them. They contain cyanide. It wouldn't be a warning. It's not like...
If you ate all of the apricots in the shop... and Richard, there's one
thing...
Die.
Listen, Richard, don't get into an argument with me about apricots. Okay. If there's one thing I know more than you about, 3 months I spent up a tree.
Yeah.
I came down at night. Obviously, I'm not an owl.
I imagine apricots grew on quite a small tree. Like, that you could just walk and pick. Like,
yeah, Richard, I used to think that. I used to be like you, naive. Yeah. Well, let me tell you, those trees are big motherfuckers.
What? Where in the north were they growing apricots?
In Australia.
That makes more sense.
Because apparently, I don't know if you know this, and it's genuine, since about 1974, people from the north have been allowed to travel.
I didn't know that.
It's been this new thing, even ones that did go to university, you know. You're allowed to go off and, you know, and search the world for apricots.
That's good.
Adelaide, I think it was.
It was Adelaide.
I think it was Adelaide. It was just outside Adelaide. I remember, whilst I was picking the apricots, I've just now realised I have got an anecdote.
Yes, see, I knew.
I've remembered.
This is what
happened. Didn't make
you
the book, so that should be a warning about how this is going to end. Wasn't even good enough for print, and we all know that doesn't even have to be that funny in print.
Yeah.
With an audience, this has to have a killer ending.
It has to be brilliant.
And I've got nothing. I warn you now. But we had to camp because you can't afford to stay in a hotel with your apricot picking.
No.
And
the apricots are a long way from the city, I imagine.
Oh, they are. They're a long way
from the nearest.
And I put
hotel.
My shoe on, and something bit me, and I took out this little insect that was now dead because I squashed it.
Yeah.
And I honestly thought I was in Australia, so therefore that means I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And I ran to the farm and I banged on his door. Mate, can you tell me what this is? It just bit me. And he looked at me like that, and he literally went, "Mate, get a fucking grip!" And he slammed the door in my face. That's all he said. Get a fucking grip. He didn't tell me. They didn't say, it's fine, get a grip. He just said, get a grip.
Get a grip round your ankle, because you're playing.
Yeah, maybe he's talking to the insects. Like, get a grip and kill the fucking pom, I told you, right?
And then you... Well, that probably not then. You've also worked...
I wish I'd included that in the book now.
That was good. So I choose the stories that you haven't written about, and then I'll get something good. I know that you're going
to
come up with...
I'm sorry to be anal, but that's annoying me. Can I just do that? Because I think it's going to fall, and I'm going to waft into the three mental fans.
If it would fall, it's meant to fall. That is the thing. That has been carefully... When you think about it, that guy, he's got... I've written a Metro article about this, and I've shown this on this show... He's got a very good advert. Ravi Shankar has done very well out of this, so he was right to post it through my door. Go to see him. If you want to ring him, it's 07440-2282. Actually, if you want to ring him, just hit the phone pad randomly and you should get through to him, because he'll have planned for that. You did mention Red Rum. You have, of course, in your book, you admit that you've tenderly washed the genitals of a horse.
I don't know about tenderly.
Well, I hope it was tenderly. I hope
the
you
good
do
thing
it roughly.
About a horse is that you don't have to be careful.
Okay.
They can take anything you throw at them.
Can they?
Yeah, the thing is you've got to actually... The horse's penis retracts, as we all, I think, are aware.
Yeah.
And so to clean it, you've got to sort of get in a bit.
Yeah.
So you have to wet your sponge, squeeze it tight. Because I actually did, I was told to clean its backside. I didn't personally look after Red Rum, it was one of them. Anyway, but the horse I was cleaning, they said, you've got to clean its backside. And I was like, I was on £26.50 a week. I thought, that is too much for that money to be cleaning a horse's bottom. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
So I'd be doing this for free.
Yeah. So I sort of wiped its bottom and then I put the sponge in. I thought, well, I've done my rite of passage. I've shown that I can do this job.
This and
he
horse...
said, what about the penis?
Wow.
I said, mate, let me finish with the horse. I said, they're coming very handy, these. I wish I'd actually worn them all the time. I actually had to, you have to go, and I said, where is it? Because he's in there, and I went, oh, for God's sake, so you get in and you have to give it a thing. And then years later, I told that story on a TV show with Frankie Dettori on the show.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, you know what you have to do with the thing? And Frankie Dettori went, someone has winded you up, you don't have to do that. Oh, don't you? That was like a year of practical joke of me.
Yeah. He's cleaning the horse's bell end, don't you? I can't believe he's doing this.
Yeah, it does seem weird. And you have
to... Well, you do. I think you do have to clean. I think Frankie just doesn't realise. He's not shop floor enough to realise that somebody's got to do it. He's just, you know, if anyone should be doing it, it's him.
If a horse
easy reach, wouldn't it? I've got to bend down.
a hurt horse has a dirty penis, that presumably creates some drag in the race as well. So that horse smegma.
When it comes to drag, I would say an aroused penis would cause more problems.
Yeah.
I once got a horse aroused, not deliberately, but I was told to take this horse down the road. Now, I brought him down the road, and he got aroused, and that it's massive, it really is, and it was swinging away like that,
yeah.
And hand on heart, it took the wing mirror off a Ford Anglia. And the wing mirror came off. I was like, come on, let's get you back. Because I thought, this is going to be an insurance nightmare if you have to exchange details, isn't it? You know, you draw the pictures.
Does a horse enjoy having its anus and genitals washed?
The thing about horses is they can't talk, so I don't know, but... Apart from Mr. Ed, no one expressed one way or the other how they felt about it.
Surely you can tell when a horse is happy and when it's not happy.
I know what you mean. Just when you put the thing in, does the penis then come out because he's aroused?
Yeah.
I didn't hang around long enough. It was in, out, and you know what I mean? I didn't bother. Better way to do it, wait till they're aroused and then clean it. You've not even got to go in, have you? As I'm saying this out loud. Can I take my jacket off? I don't, why am I asking you like you're my dad? I'm taking my jacket off.
You can take it if you like. You can do whatever you like.
Can I take my jacket off, Richard?
You can do whatever you want in it. Well, you grew up in a pub for a while.
Oh, it was a hook. Sorry.
Grew up in a pub.
Grow up in a pub, yes. My parents lived there. I wasn't just left in the corner.
Yeah. You play lots of darts and pinball, you mentioned, which, again, you don't go on about pinball enough.
I don't. I love pinball.
What's your favourite pinball machine?
Ski Jump, 1978, Zachariah.
I actually
own one now.
Do you?
I own a pinball machine.
Is that one of the old kind of...
Clockwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the one I had when I was a kid. There's only 50 made in the country, and the guy that delivered it told me that. So I suddenly thought, there's a 1 in 50 chance that it's the one I actually owned in the pub.
Yeah.
And I said, where was it? He said, it's somewhere, we found it in a barn in Cheshire. So I thought, well, hang on, I live in Blackburn, it's not that far away from Cheshire. That surely reduces the odds to about 1 in 5 or 6, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So there's a 1 in 5 chance I've got my childhood pinball machine back, which anecdotally probably means more to me than an audience. I genuinely rang up. I rang up because it went wrong.
Yeah.
A week later, and I got told he died. The bloke, he sold it to me.
Wow.
So there's an ending.
He died 2 weeks before. That was the really scary part.
That would have been worse, wouldn't it? Oh my God, yeah, that would have been awful, wouldn't it?
That was his last ghostly act.
In fact, I didn't check that. He did actually say, the response was he recently died.
Yeah.
Well, who else would have brought you? I saw him last week.
Only an angel could have brought you the pinball machine from your actual pub. I'm very excited. I love pinball. There's a brilliant app where, because I like Adam's
not,
pinball.
Not at pinball.
No, it's still good. They're good enough.
Good.
It's still good.
How do you get the ball inside?
It's very good.
I thought that was worth more as a visual.
It's not so. But like the great thing about it is you can play pinball anywhere, and it suddenly freaks my. You know, I play in the bath, and then every now and again, I go. If I could go back 20 years and tell the kid playing Adam's Family Pinball in a pub in Richmond that he's going to be playing this in the bath in 20 years' time, he'll go, "Yeah, no, that's not going to. How big is my bath going to be? It's going to be. It's on an iPad.
When your child is a little bit older, and perhaps you'll have another child and three children like me, you will look back at the days of being able to play pinball in the bath. As the halcyon boys. Forget still, that. That's not happening anymore.
You
now.
Still get a little bit of time to yourself.
No, you don't. And if you do, you don't want to engage in anything.
No.
You just want to shut your eyes and pretend that nothing exists. Right, kids. So I thought I should sell out to the kids in case they're watching.
They might be watching in the future.
They might be. Might be watching
this
in the past.
This will be online. They could be.
Never know.
Anything could happen. I'll ask you because we came. Have you ever seen a ghost? That is an emergency question.
Well, that's a good question because I don't think I have seen a ghost. No. Okay. Well, I know I haven't seen a ghost because they don't exist.
Yeah.
But we did. My mum and dad used to let us do Ouija boards in the pub.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Did you read that in the book? You probably read the book.
I've read.
Along the way, every now and again, just be warned, I might say something like, just after my budgie died, did you read it in the book? You go, yeah, I've never had a budgie.
Okay.
So just be warned, don't think everything I say is in the book is in the book. It's my way of testing, telling the truth.
Right? Okay.
Never mentioned the apricot picking. My mum and dad used to do lock-in. In the days that pubs used to close in the afternoon, sometimes you'd have a lock-in, wouldn't you? And the locals would stay around and would shut all the windows, it'd be all dark in there. And my mum and dad used to do the glass upside down, the Ouija board.
Yeah.
And because it was the 1970s, we were allowed to join in, which is odd thinking about it. But whatever, it doesn't matter, a bit of fun. And so we contacted the spirits because you you know, it soon starts moving, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And they said there was... my dad was after a hidden document. I don't know why. Something to do with some legal case. He had to find a hidden document, a document that he could not find anywhere. That's all I know about the story.
Yeah.
It sounds more interesting than it actually is. But this spirit said, it's in the attic. He hadn't even been asked the question.
Wow.
It's in the attic. It wasn't in the fucking attic. We didn't have an attic. But that's not the point. Something was telling us it was somewhere high up, even though we hadn't even asked it a question.
Wow.
He just said, hello, is anyone there? It's in the attic. Kind of thinking my dad was desperately trying to find this document. I say document, I mean stash of porn.
It could be in attic. It didn't say which attic it was in. There's a lot of attics you'd have
might
to
be in the shop.
Yeah.
Attic.
Oh.
You never know. We, I also...
could
we,
be an Arctic,
and then we tried
not,
it.
Not been able to spell.
We did the one where you join your thing at the seance.
Yeah.
And we were in a different pub then. We moved around. And this pub had a big stairwell that led up to the top attic. And whilst we were doing the seance, a roll of wallpaper came whizzing across the floor from below. So it went... and then shot across the floor. It could only have happened if some spirit had done it or my mum had thrown it up. Now, you would say, well, I think my money's on your mum throwing it up. But we were kids. And for years afterwards, I said, come on, tell me. She's still... I promise you, I didn't throw that thing upstairs. And
that is definitely
turns
a ghost.
Out yeah. She fucking did. So, I don't believe in ghosts, but I believe in lying mothers.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you play the same tricks on your parents. And Bobby Ball played your pub. Cannon and Ball played your pub. I love Cannon and Ball.
Yes, Cannon and Ball. Yeah, I do as well.
Yeah.
I really did. And Cannon and Ball, I'm going to try and open this whilst holding a mic. That's not possible, is it? Cannon and Ball, before they were famous...
If you can wash a horse's penis, you can open a bottle of water.
Is that your catchphrase?
Yeah.
And they played the pub and they met my dad and they don't remember this, but when I told Bobby, because Bobby Ball now plays my dad in the sitcom.
He does.
And Bobby, when I told him the story, he said, oh, we definitely would have played that pub. He remembered the pub. And so my dad would have paid him 30 quid or whatever.
Yeah. And Bobby Ball, you went on Pointless with Bobby Ball.
Hmm. Did anyone see this?
Which I did. Richard Osman brought it up when I talked to him about it.
This genuinely makes me angry. My children are obsessed with two programmes, Doctor Who and Pointless.
Yeah.
And they've always said to me, please, if you get a chance, will you go on either of those shows? Surprisingly, it's been a bit easier to get on Pointless. So I went on Pointless, and they don't come and see the show, as they're quite young. And my wife... you know, drove them, which is pretty good in her condition. And we went 3 hours in the worst traffic possible to Elstree Studios. And the show was delayed, we were late, and the kids sat there and they were so excited to meet Richard and Alexander. Everything was just so exciting. And here I am on point, impressing my kids. And you know, I'm sure you know, but does everyone know the format where you start off at that end, you go to that end, and then you go back along the line, back to the beginning. And Bob said to me, can I go first? I'm nervous. I went, all right. So Bobby goes first, and the question is, name a word. Richard already told you this.
Yeah, but tell it again.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's so
I didn't realise that like shit had done my anecdotes.
Not everyone listens to every single one, and it's still good enough to hear twice.
Well, basically, he said, say a word that ends in son, S-O-N. And Bob went, Appleson. And Alexander said, what? Bear in mind, that's the speed. I'm not exaggerating, that's the speed he said. He didn't think at all. Then a word that ends in son, Appleson. Well, hang on, you've got a minute, think. And Alexander went, what does that mean? He went, I don't know, I just made it up. You made it up, you've got to have a word that means something. To be further, Alexander Armstrong didn't say name a word that exists.
Exactly.
He said, make a sound that ends in son. Appleson. So he goes all the way along the line. We get the maximum 100 points. He goes all the way along the line. McFly. No, McBusted. That's even worse. It's the watered-down version of McFly. McBusted. Two lots of McBusted. See what I mean? A team of two and a team of two. Both McBusted.
Yeah.
Did better than us.
Yeah.
And Terry Wogan and Esther Ranson, right? I said that with disdain, didn't I? You know, that other boy, girl band. And then it comes down this way, and I've not even had a go, and we're out. And he said, go on, you can have a go anyway. Thanks, Xander. And then I had a go, and then we had to go home. And it's the only time my wife, who's quite strict with the kids, what they eat, because the kids are almost in tears. It was so late now, we couldn't even watch the rest of the show, and I've never heard my wife ever say it before or ever say it since. She said, we'll stop at McDonald's on the way home. Just because they'd heard it's exciting, so they got a McDonald's out of it.
Well, I've crashed out twice.
You've been on twice?
Yeah.
You've obviously told this story.
I got knocked out in the first round because Rona Cameron said, name a solo artist with a 1980s hit, and she said to Powell. She's not a solo artist.
Oh, yeah. It took me a second. The clue is in the title because it's the at the beginning, so it should be a noun. It's the power, isn't it?
The power. The power, yeah.
The power.
And then I had to take a bit of a punt to get under seven, and I went for Brian Ferry, but his number one was as Roxy Music, but I had a feeling.
You thought you might have had a solo hit in the 1980s?
I thought he did Jealous Guy under his own name. I was 90% certain he did Jealous Guy under his own name, and I knew it was definitely 1980s, and I knew it was definitely number one.
What about Joe Dolce?
Well, Joe Dolce was... I thought Joe Dolce straight away.
Why don't you go for it?
Because then I convinced myself it was the night I remember them doing a parody of it on Tiz Was, and I thought I only watched Tiz Was.
Would that have got you less than seven?
Yeah.
Oh, what's the matter, you?
I thought. But also, there was a part of me thought, was it Joe Dolce or was it Joe Dolce and the stupid spaghetti orchestra? And my friend has a copy of it, and it has got the stupid spaghetti orchids. It's not.
Oh, it would have. Yeah.
It's got, but it would have counted. But they were wrong to allow it to count. So I'm over it though. I don't really talk about it. I very rarely mention it. Anna came second.
You can't have gone on about it more than I have. I've spent 2 years really angry.
Anna came second in Celebrity Mastermind, even though I scored the highest ever.
What
Celebrity
did you do?
Mastermind. I did Rasputin. And I got 35 points, and
really?
I still lost.
How many questions can there be about the songs of Boney M?
There were none. But I was ready for that as well. If they'd asked.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Anyway, let's crack on with some interesting questions about your life.
Right. I'll judge that.
Let's talk about the sketch show, which is kind of interesting for lots of reasons, right? So this is probably your first...
It's a backhanded compliment.
There's lots of interesting stories behind it, because it was your first major TV thing, or the first
thing... Yeah, you're
forgetting Gas. Yeah, I did forget
Gas. I did Gas in the mid to late 90s, and then I'd stopped doing telly, which was... No, that wasn't me going. I decided to move away from telly. I just wasn't asked to do anything for a while. Then I did a sketch show with Catherine Tate and Dan Antopolsky at Edinburgh.
Yeah.
And they took bits of that and said, right, we'd like to use you to do a sketch show and we'll get some other people in. And they got Ronnie Ancona and Tim Vine, Karen Taylor, Jim Tavare. And it was on ITV.
It was, but not Catherine Tate or Dan Antopolsky.
No, it wasn't. No, they didn't. Catherine wasn't famous then.
Yeah.
And so they didn't. That didn't have any cachet, like, oh, we'll use her.
Yeah.
But she was still brilliant, so I kept going, I don't understand why you're not using her.
Yeah.
And they went, we're not. They said, you can either drop your mates and go on telly or stick with your principles. Well, if you put it like that. We're not mates, we're more like acquaintances anyway. Should be fine. But so we did that, yeah.
So it turned out okay for it in the end, so that was all right. That won BAFTAs, I think, is that correct?
Well, it won a BAFTA, and it was the year that... the Chris Morris Brass Eye Paedophilia special was nominated alongside us.
Right.
And I know you're thinking, what category was this? Because if you don't remember the sketch show, it would be fair to say that it was very a very safe, old style sort of... It wasn't edgy in any way, was it?
It was very gaggy. Yeah, it was gaggy, but there was a bit more to it than just being...
Yeah, but it certainly wasn't. Would it be fair to say that it wasn't as contentious as the Brass Eye Peter Finlay special?
I'd say that would... If you look back at history and thought, I wonder if Chris Morris's Brass Eye Peter Finlay special won the...
Because if you remember, that was all over the tabloids, wasn't it? You know, at the time, it was Chris Tarrant was the host, and he said, if it wins, I'm going to walk off stage. And he made a real thing of saying, I'm really anti the Peter Finlay thing, not the sketch show.
Yeah. So,
it turns out he didn't give a monkey's one way or the other about us. But it was a big news item. And the part of me, still convinced that the reason we won it, they just went, let's just play really safe. What's a really non-contentious nomination? And they went the other way and they went for us. But
and then when you came on, we fuck kids!
And then...
we've all been fucking them backstage.
That would have been... Why didn't I think of that? So I won a BAFTA, and it's the only, you know, it's the only BAFTA I've ever won to this day. And so I took it home, and I was very proud of my BAFTA. And then I started going to, like, other people's houses that were in showbiz, and they had BAFTAs, and theirs was shiny. like a goldy shine, gold shiny colour, right?
Yeah.
And mine was, like, a very dull, chocolatey sort of brown colour, matte, you know.
Yeah.
And I picked theirs up, and that's quite heavy, that, isn't it? And mine's quite, you know. And what had happened is, when we were doing the sketch show, we got one BAFTA, and the director took it, because, as we all know, you know, the best thing about the sketch show is which way the camera's fucking pointing. And every time he got us, never got the audience accidentally or the roof. It was always aimed directly at us. No, he was a great director, he deserved it. But we obviously, egos, we were going, where's our BAFTA? Why can't we have one? And Henry, normal, who made the show at Baby Cow, and we kept going on at him, going, come on, where's our BAFTA? We want a BAFTA. And at the end of the series, we all got a goodie bag, and we opened the goodie, and he got us all a BAFTA each. And to buy another BAFTA, I think they're like £1,000, you have to buy them off BAFTA.
Yeah.
And I that's a very generous gift, you know. And then years later, I'd see these other BAFTAs, and go, that's not like the other BAFTAs, I would say. And then one day, and this wasn't long, it was only about 3 or 4 years ago, the thing toppled forward and smashed. Now, bearing in mind, a BAFTA's made of metal. And there was bits everywhere. And I looked at it, it was like plaster. Right. Painted like little plaster stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And it turns out you just got the props man to make 5 copies of it. And just give them all to us. So we got like a prop BAFTA. And now I feel like an idiot because, you know, some showbiz people have been round to my house and looked at my BAFTA.
Yeah.
And they're probably going away going, he's made it. That's not a BAFTA. He's made that. He's not all a BAFTA. Well, who was he against? The Brass Eye Peter Finlay? Surely that one. I think so. Yeah, made a BAFTA.
Do you want to know an interesting fact about the director of...
He was right next to my toothpaste Oscar.
Nick Woods, the director of...
Nick Wood, yes.
He played the baby in the film of the Railway Children.
Now, whoa. The Nick Wood?
Nick Wood played the baby in the Jenny Agutter Railway
Children. Do you mean just somebody else called Nick Wood?
No,
do you mean...
I mean the man who directed your show.
But why is it that after the years and years... You don't mean... Nick Wood didn't do the sketch show. Nick Wood does Not Going Out.
Oh, does he? Okay.
You're thinking of Richard Bowden.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Nick Wood. I am thinking of Nick Wood.
Oh, right, so Nick Wood was the...
Nick Wood, I thought he was the director
of the
sketch
show. I've been working with Nick Wood for 10 years and that's never cropped up.
Yeah, well, there you go. Next
but
time
I'm
you
quite
see him.
Shallow. I don't really talk to the director.
Next time you
just
see...
said that, I didn't even know his surname.
I hope I'm right. It's the same guy.
He cropped up, wouldn't he?
He directed one of our things, Fist of Fun, or This Morning, Rich Not Judy.
Yeah.
And he was. We did a question. He directed. He directed our show.
Yeah.
He directed Mr. Blobby's Christmas special video. And he was
natural progression.
And he was the baby in the Railway Children. We did a quiz to anyone who could find the connection between those three things. Nobody could find the connection.
Well, I never knew that. I must stop.
He was the baby.
Do you know what's annoying though? If he watches this, he might go, I've told him that story 7 times. He never listens to me.
I'm surprised he hasn't. If I was the baby in the Railway Children, I'd go on about it all the time.
Would you?
Yeah.
I might. I hope he doesn't watch this, and I can, next time I'm with him in a meeting, I can go, do you know, it's always bugged me, but you remind me of somebody. You weren't the baby in the Railway.
Give me a go. And if I'm wrong and they've got the wrong person, it'll be doubly amusing if that's the case.
And he'll go, no, that was Richard Bowden from the sketch show.
You met Alan Sugar as well. I read in your autobiography.
Yes, I did.
I'm obsessed with Alan Sugar.
Right.
And I quite like your Alan Sugar story. But he's... quite an interesting man on Twitter. You don't like Twitter, do you? But he's...
I don't do Twitter.
On Twitter, I mean, he
I don't do Twitter for the simple reason that I can barely be bothered keeping in contact with people I know. I can't extend that to strangers as well. Yeah. But no, Alan Sugar did. We did Graham Norton together, and he... it was me, Graham Norton, and... I mean, obviously, Graham Norton was on. Me, Alan Sugar, and Pamela... Billy Connolly's wife. I always say the wrong one. Anderson Stevenson. And Pamela Stevenson's now a therapist. And he was mocking that.
Oh, Alan.
He was mocking it, saying, it's not really a proper job. Right?
Not like me with my Amstrad email.
Yeah. And I just thought, well, he's... And she was really sweet, really nice. And yeah. I thought, I don't like this. So I thought, what am I talking about? What I really meant is I've got a gag and I haven't said anything funny yet. That's what I really thought. Yeah. I'm pretending I was doing it for her benefit. It was for me. And so, and he said, the problem with these therapists is anyone can just get a sheet of paper and stick anything they want on the top and just say, I'm Doctor This or I'm Doctor That. And I said, no, Alan, it's not everyone that can buy a title. Now this got a small round of applause, similar to that one where it doesn't kick off properly, but you think it might, so you pause and then it's embarrassing. But it got a round of applause and my first laugh, and I was nervous, you know, chat shows, you get a bit nervous until you're into it, and I hadn't said much. I was really pleased with that. And... he wasn't happy, but he rung up and said, I want it taken out. And it got taken out.
Oh.
Taken out, because he wasn't happy. I was glad. I thought he said he wanted me taken out.
He could do it.
Yeah, so he got it took out, just saying. But then, you know, I broadcast the joke now anyway, so I've got a bit of credit for it.
It's a good joke.
It didn't even exist. But I can get away with it. It was edited out. That didn't happen.
Also, I don't know if you know this, no. Your Dibber is in the Southport Lawnmower Museum. Are you aware of that? Did you give them
Well, I am aware of that because I gave it to them.
I thought they might have stolen it.
And you've stolen it?
No, I thought they might have stolen it off you.
Oh, no. It did appear, that story, on the popular light entertainment show, Would I Lie to You?
No, I did it, okay.
Yeah, I'm afraid. So I can't even pretend to you. I can't go, what are you talking about? And let you wax lyrical. But yeah it's...
Do you know who else's lawnmower's in there?
I do know. Brian May.
Yeah.
Do you know the answer to this?
Well, I know some. I know one
Joe
answer.
Pasquale.
Yeah.
It is. It's Brian May and Joe Pasquale.
I'm pretty sure Alfred Pierpoint, the hangman's...
Well, he's from Southport.
Is in there.
He's from Southport.
Is it only Southport?
That's what he used to gaffer tape to the legs to make sure that it properly works. For the light ones. Stick a lawnmower on the lap on that one. But yeah, so I dibber, and I know most people now are going, I don't know what a dibber is, and I didn't until I donated it because I found it in the cellar and I said, I'll give that to the Southport Lawnmower Museum. And my wife said, well, why the hell would you do that? And I said, because I'm on Series 7 of Would I Lie to You and I've run out of stuff. See you in a minute, I'm just going to go and punch a nun.
I do like Would I Lie to You a lot.
Oh, good.
But my wife won't watch it.
Oh, bad.
So it's annoying.
Why
but she likes
it,
but she won't watch it because you only have one woman on every week. So she won't watch
that's
it.
That's not true. I think it's that. Why is it you, Lonnie? I don't book them.
It's your fault. You can refuse.
I don't think. I think that we definitely that isn't true because sometimes we've had a woman either side of me. But it's fair to say that women, as they are on all panel games, is the minority. They're not. It's not equal.
I think in that show though, there's no because women are brilliant liars. I mean, the only reason not to have them on.
Well, he gives and then he takes, doesn't he?
The reason not to have them on is because you would just know they were lying. Just go, well, it's a woman, she's lying. So
you're a brilliant feminist, Richard. I love that. More rights for women because they're fucking liars.
But no, there's no.
No, it's true. It is absolutely true.
And
but it's also,
you
know, the old thing about, you know, there's not enough women in on panel games, but actually, we don't actually have a lot of comedians, full stop. The majority of people on the show are non comics.
Yeah, but then that broadens out more because there are more women.
Well, it does. So, exactly. So, more reason to say that maybe we could have an equal men. I've probably not studied the statistics. Is it definitely true that there's never been a case where there's more? No, of course there isn't. What am I talking about? No, someone said no.
Well, the problem is you're the three main people in it who are all got an extremely good relationship between each other, and you wouldn't want to lose any of those three people.
Or men.
Are, you know, broadly
speaking,
men. So there's
only four. So you only need one male guest, and it can never be more women than men. That's a good point.
But it could still be two, and then she'd watch it. But all you're saying is you get one more viewer.
Well, then tell us watch the ones that there has been two on.
Okay, we'll
Claire Balding and Miranda Hart were definitely on one. I remember.
Okay,
that.
We'll watch that one. But she'll still say that. She'll count up the number and she'll count and still say it's only two out of seven.
I'm afraid I don't do the booking policy. Okay. If it was up to me, there would be six women and one man every week. One man. One man, yeah?
Yeah. And would it be you? Would you be the man?
No, it'd be Rob Brydon. I'd have a night off.
Okay, cool.
I love a night off. It's great having a night off.
But I really like it, so I have to watch it on my own when my wife's gone to bed. So it feels like a exciting bit of pornography, except you and David.
Is that what you tell her you're watching?
Because yeah. the kind of stuff you really watch,
there's definitely more women than men.
She'd rather I watched the most sexist pornography in the world than would I like.
Would she
you.
Only That's watch if you're watching pornography, does she insist there has to be two women in the bed with a man? Yeah.
She does. I'm a lucky man. And you tried to run a marathon unsuccessfully.
Yeah, I'm jealous. You've run one, haven't you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, I got back into running recently, yeah. You're right, I do look svelte.
Well, weirdly, I ran a half marathon. I was meant to run a half marathon today.
Today? Yeah. How fit are you?
Well, I was. I'm not fit, so I didn't do it. I did one this time last year and did my personal best, and I've put on like a stone and a half since then, and I haven't had it because of my stupid fucking baby. How? I haven't had time to go out.
Are you still
running.
Working for Clinton Cards?
I'm too tired to go out running, and so I'm just eating chocolate and getting fat again.
But hang on, what was the last time... Do you even think that you could run a half marathon today? When was the last time you ran any decent distance?
Not since maybe March. I was still going out running in March.
Why are you so deluded that you think you'd be able to do that?
Well, I signed up in, like, straight away, because I did it last October.
Yeah, but you thought you'd be able to... when you said I was going to do it this morning, you didn't wake up this morning and go, actually, no. I won't bother. That's what I thought you meant.
No.
I thought you'd been all blasé. No, I was supposed to do it this morning. I
signed up and then I pulled out.
Oh, I see. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, in that case, yeah.
Because I realised I would die if I did it. Mm. It was exciting last year because I broke my personal best of when I was 35. And,
a marathon, a full marathon?
A half marathon. And then I thought, I'll do it again next year because then I can break it again next year. But then I realised I'd be back to 2 hours 40.
I trained for the marathon, and again, it's been on what I like to, I'm afraid, but I was told I had to stop training. I got to about 13 miles in the training, so I thought, I'm about half marathon standard now. And then got told there was a pain in my leg, and she said, you've got to stop because one leg's shorter than the other. So you don't have to do it anymore. I was so happy because I got out of it without the guilt.
Yeah.
And it's weird because when one... You genuinely sort of run in a massive circle without realising.
Yeah.
No, you don't. But you do have to run on the road next to the curb. So one foot's on the curb and one foot's on the road. It's very dangerous, that.
If you can find a marathon that does that, there's a pavement all the way through. You're laughing.
But it was quite extreme. It was like, it wasn't just everyone's legs a bit different, apparently, but mine was like, he said it's in the top 3% of difference in the country.
Wow.
Most people are a bit different. And I broke my leg when I was a kid.
You could join different leg Mensa with that.
I think there's any chance I'd get in is to join the different leg members. See, that'd have a lower entrance.
Yeah, different leg members. You're
what
in the top 3%.
What does it have to be to get into Mensa, your IQ?
You just have to be a prick. You have to be.
Somebody fails.
You have to be the kind of prick.
Did you apply?
No.
Of course you did.
It's those logic.
You've done the test.
I don't know.
Look at your face.
I wouldn't do it because I can't do any of those ones where you have to imagine cubes as if you have to imagine three-dimensional objects off the page.
Is it, what's that word? Non-verbal reasoning. Is it that type of thing?
I think it is. I think I'd do all right. I think I am a genius. So I think I would do all right. I've never tried.
I did one.
Did you?
Online, just to see.
Yeah.
And I was good enough to get into Mensa. I should point out that I don't know what website I was on. It might have been someone that said, oh, yeah, this is Mensa, don't worry.
Yeah.
So, but it was stuff like, you know, is this an orange, yes or no? Yes, correct. So it was a bit dubious about whether it was the proper Mensa.
That's different.
But I was quite pleased that I did. I thought I'd leave it at that, and then there's a chance. I don't want to find out that I'm definitely not good enough to
do it. Why don't we do it as
do it together and add up the scores?
Yeah.
And then still not get in.
Yeah. We've both failed on pointless.
Not as bad as these me. Bobby Ball. Why would you pick Bobby Ball? I blame myself.
It was stupid. I didn't get a chance to pick who I went with either time. I wouldn't have picked Robert Webb, you idiot. I got a pointless answer and then Robert Webb messed it up.
Did he? What did he do?
Yeah, he said he had to say a country that ended in a vowel. Is that right what it was? I think it was.
A country that ended in a vowel.
A country that ended in a vowel. He went for Chile. What a prick. He only needed a score under 11.
Well, you know it doesn't end in a Y. That is all right.
Chile. No, but it was a high score.
Oh, I see. I thought you meant it was incorrect.
No, it's correct.
I started doubting my whole life then. It's like... And when I said it then and there was a pause afterwards and no one laughed, I thought, does it end in a Y? Maybe it ends in a Y. Maybe it is spelt like the word chili.
That's the problem with Bobby Ball. He just thought, well, no one will say Appleson. That's why he went for that, isn't it? And he was right.
He was right. No one has ever said the word ever in the history of mankind, apart from when they're offering their child an apple. And that's two different words.
Did you ever manage to find...
Because Tommy Cannon wasn't available.
Did you ever manage to find the pub sign, the Centurion pub sign?
No.
That you were searching for?
Yeah, I was really desperate. Did you find that story?
I found that online.
Because I thought,
I wonder what happened at the end of that mystery.
Yeah, well, I grew up in a pub in the, whatever, late 70s, early 80s, and then it became like a bit of a rough area, and the pub was burnt down in the mid-noughties, and I desperately wanted to get the sign back, but the pub sign was like miles away from it. It was like the end of a driveway, not miles, but it was a long way away. And so I thought it's a chance it survived the fire.
Yeah.
So I did an interview with the Lancashire Evening Telegraph, just in case someone's got it. And I said, I'll give them a reward if I can get the pub sign back. And I never got it back. And my cousin, bless him, he got me a special present, big proper pub sign like that, that he'd had made of the Centurion, me as a Centurion soldier, and he put my face where the Centurion... So it's like that, me looking very grand with the Centurion, and I thought, brilliant, I'll put that up in my office, that's really nice. But then it's made me realise that if you don't know the story... It just makes me look... It's a bit like, you know, did you see the BAFTA that wasn't real? No, never mind that. He's got himself as a painted Centurion.
Well, it is weird.
And that's what I'm thinking. I'm now put it on the wall.
Well, it's weird. If you sell, we're trying to buy a new house at the moment. We've been round some houses, and weirdly, we've been to not two celebrities, but we went to the house of a celebrity chef.
Which one? You don't want to say?
I won't say.
Because you might offer on it.
No, I'm not. It's a horrible house. it's so to his taste. It's kind of amazing. Yeah. It's in Boreham Wood.
Oh, Gordon Ramsay.
it's not. And I won't say who it is. But it's a very...
I won't say who it is, right? So if there's any celebrity chefs from Boreham Wood selling their house, it's not necessarily you.
You can find out who it is. But it's very much, you know, he's got a family, he's got kids, they're just helping you identify who it is.
Okay.
But you wouldn't really know that from the house. It's sort of like a testament to himself, you know. Right. So it's, but he's got six ovens in the kitchen, and he's got a pizza oven in the garden. It's nice. But it's weird going round someone, you know, it's weird suddenly being, the estate agents get all very like, oh, you might recognise the person. And then I met him. And A, I was thinking... Well, it's a bit insulting. You were talking to me. So you did treating me as if I'm not someone famous.
Right.
And it's nice of you to do that. I assumed you were doing that out of respect. And now, weirdly, you're treating this other famous person as if they are famous. What's the rule? I appreciate you treating me as if I'm just any person off the street.
But he would have told the celebrity chef that Richard Herring was coming round. he'd have gone out.
Yeah.
To avoid
weirdly, he stayed... She rang up. The estate agent was a lady. And she rang up and she said... Can you come half an hour later than we said? Because I can't tell you why, but there's a reason. You'll see when you get here. And so she's very excited about me meeting this guy who I didn't recognise.
Right.
He was there when we got there and then left the minute we were there. I think he said, I want to be there when they get there so that I can sort of shake their hand and they'll go, oh, we should buy this house because it's that
bloke. Extra bit of kudos to it.
Yeah.
Ah, but it didn't work.
It didn't work because I just didn't know who he was. I was thinking, is he a footballer? What's going on? It's very, you know, he's
done... you found it afterwards?
Well, we worked out because he had all of his own cookery books on the shelf.
but when he came and said hello to you, you recognised him then?
No.
Ah, so he's not one of the big ones?
Well, he might be, but I don't really care about celebrity chefs, so he's not...
Oh, okay.
I think I recognise his name, but I wouldn't have recognised him as...
Which one it is?
Yeah.
We're all intrigued, aren't we? Yeah. I'm genuinely...
But he's got all of his own cookery books, which again suggests he didn't write his cookery books, doesn't it? Because if they're your cookery books,
it's all right. Do you think there's an ego... Do you think there's an ego problem if you...
Yes.
You want to try dressing as a centurion, right? And it's the position as well. There's no irony in the face. I'm like...
That's what I'm saying. Someone's going to come around your house and then go to all their friends. Because it's very exciting to go and tell
Do you ever
friend.
Have, like... Because when I started out in comedy, I used to put the... I was so proud of the shows I'd done at Edinburgh. I used to put them in frames in my office. And my office was in the house. But the office was also the spare bedroom. So when people used to stay, there'd be, like, six pictures of me doing shows. And I took them all out and put them in the attic because I thought, I feel like an idiot. Because you look like you're just sort of trying to sell tickets still. Some left, mate, if you want to come tomorrow.
Well, you know what? I look at them as just very, very, very expensive posters. Those posters cost me £10,000 each. So I want them.
You want at least, yeah, yeah, that's true.
No, but no, mine are, I have mine in my office, but not really hung up. But then occasionally, like the estate, we're trying to sell our house as well.
Yeah.
No one's come around and been excited about meeting me though.
We're actually
so they're very good.
We are looking
around.
For a house, so we could combine it. Where do you live?
Shepherd's Bush. Do you want to come and live in Shepherd's
Bush? Bit central for me. That.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's very convenient though.
But also, when in Shepherd's Bush, I always think of the theme music to Only Fools and Horses. Yeah. Think how much more successful that is than my sitcom. It makes me angry. I don't want to wake up every morning thinking that.
Oh, because of Bush, that bit.
But,
yeah.
No from tax on VAT Shepherd's Bush, and all yeah. that. Yeah, so
there is a mention. Though then it's not set. Steptoe and Son is set in
Shepherd's Bush.
Bush.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's good. You named another one that's better than mine.
My row of houses, not the name of the street, it's called Hercules Terrace, and I often wonder whether the reason the horse is called Hercules is because it was down there. Yeah. Who knows?
Weirdly, if I looked at that, I'd just think about cleaning the end of his penis. We have different angles when we see the names of horses, don't we?
We certainly do. I'm going to ask you an emergency question. I've got some new emergency questions for people. So I think most of this audience don't know who I am. Like everyone who's come round to my house to look at my house so far. Well, this is, you know, we talked about, this comes out of a recent news story, and this is almost relevant. Have you ever put your genitals in the mouth of a dead animal?
No, weirdly, I haven't, but I have genuinely dressed as a dead pig.
Have you?
Yeah, and David Cameron did it to me. The way they skirted around that story was incredible, wasn't it? The way everyone knew, and then on Radio 4, they kept going, and obviously there's been stories about certain activities, which, you know, they kept... Why can't they just
Well, because
say,
it's a lie, I think, is the reason that they can't say.
Do you think it's absolutely a lie? Is that the...
Yeah.
Oh, is it?
I mean, you just so want it to be true.
Well, I had a debate with my mate immediately about a moral question with this. I said, what's worse, putting it in a dead pig's mouth or a live pig's mouth?
That's my next question.
Oh.
And what do you think? What's your answer?
Well, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I really don't, because I would say that one is bestiality.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
One is necrophilia and bestiality.
Which is, but that's one another question of mine.
I'm trying to combine the two words. So I would say, on the whole, if you excuse the pun, I would say try as best you can to avoid both.
Yeah.
If we take nothing from this show, can we please take that sound? It's like the end of the Jerry Springer show, isn't it? Can we just remember, never put your genitals in a pig's mouth, live or dead?
Yeah. But if you have to do one...
If you had to do one or the other, I would probably suggest maybe dead. Because then the pig's not having any... The pig's not suffering.
No. What if it's alive at the beginning and dead by the time you finish?
Genuinely, for a millisecond then, I honestly just imagined you were Michael Parkinson. And then you were just going to turn and go, would you rather fuck a dead pig or a live pig? Tell me in a minute. My next guest is Elizabeth Taylor.
But, you know, everyone, is it worse to kill and eat a pig than it is to kill and put your penis in the mouth of a dead pig just for a laugh?
And then we've got the fantastic Michael Bublé. I don't know. It's such a dilemma. I don't know which way to go.
It is a dilemma. But I don't think he did it. I mean, I think he's done a lot worse things. B, Lord Ashcroft, who made the accusations, has done much worse things, and we should be more upset with him anyway. C, you know, most of you will kill and eat animals, or let someone else kill an animal and then eat it. That's worse.
Yeah, but you can't make a scandal out of Cameron eats pork sandwich. You can't get any press out of that, but I'd say, you say that like it, yeah, but if I came round your house and I said, what are we having? And you said, I've done a spit roast thing with a hog. Oh, that's fantastic, isn't that great? And then you went to the bathroom and you came back and I had my cock in its mouth, and you would go, oh, don't worry about that. No, he's fine. Because after all, we're all going to eat it anyway. There's no difference between sticking your cock in its mouth and eating it, is there? You wouldn't say that, would you? You'd be shocked and you probably wouldn't invite me around again.
I'd be shocked and I'd say, I wish you'd waited till after we'd eaten it before you did. That is rude.
No, you
to
wouldn't.
Do. That
you
is
wouldn't.
Rude to do it before.
All right then. Let's go again. I come round your house. There's a pig roast. We take it off. We eat it, but the head is left.
Yeah.
You go to the toilet. You come in. I've got my cock in it. All your guests come in. You go, what are you doing? I'm putting my cock in the pig's mouth. Would you then go, that's fine, we've eaten.
It depends. It depends.
You still say it would be behaviour that wouldn't get me a re-invitation.
It depends on your intention.
If you can, if
what,
we,
be, what could possibly my intention, Richard?
You, we could all go out, and you might have thought, I don't know what would make them laugh. I'll come back, they'll come back in, and I'll have my cock, and then I'll go, I might, it'll be my
Isn't that just the perfect insight to the mind of a comedian?
It'll be my
isn't that the mind of a comedian? I was only doing it for a laugh. I don't care, she's 12. No, you misunderstand the joke, officer. Just because it's for a laugh, it doesn't mean it's... You're like one of these TV pranksters that start bashing people in the head and go, oh, no, I'm filming it for a laugh, you know. Doesn't make
if
it acceptable.
If it's your flaccid penis and you're going, oh, that's different than if it's your erect penis, you're going... Ugh.
Yeah. But the story wasn't David Cameron put his flaccid penis in the pig's mouth for light entertainment. The story was. He did it for a ceremony,
yeah.
Didn't he?
So, nice. It's
all right, then.
A lovely ceremony.
Right, then. Let's do one more, then. You come round to my house. Pig roast. We've eaten already. The pig's head is left. You go to the toilet. When you come back in, I say, Richard, and I'm not laughing. There's no joke. I say, Richard, before you go, there's a thing we do as a ceremony. Would you please place your flaccid penis into the dead, already eaten pig's mouth? Yeah. Would you then say, that's fine? Or would you go, that's not nice behaviour?
If everyone else was doing it as well...
That is peer pressure at its worst.
It's literally in this case. So... Some of you are going to get that on your way home, and I want you to text me, I want you to tweet me and say, I got it, Richard, it was good.
Can I just be the first to put my hand up and say that I didn't get it? I don't get that.
Because of peer pressure, because they're all peers, aren't they? All the JV Cameron
peers.
Peers, like
I
peers.
Thought genuinely you had there was a famous pig called Piers. I did. I thought maybe there's a famous pig called Piers that I don't know about. Piers the pig.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in my head, he means Percy, he's fucked that right up. There's another type you eat. Percy. You can shove them in your mouth, can't you? That's not a problem.
Percy pigs, yeah.
They contain pig as well.
They do.
They do. They contain pork, don't they? Gelatin, whatever it's called.
Gelatin, yeah.
I know they don't contain pork. I'm not an idiot. Have a bag of sweets with some meat in it. Got any jelly tots with some beef?
You've been on Desert Island Discs.
I have been on Desert Island Discs, yes.
It was enjoyable. We do a version of that on this show, except it's called Desert Island Dicks.
Desert Island what?
Dicks.
Dicks, right?
Yeah. What eight Richards would you take with you to a desert island?
What? I thought I was going to have to name eight dickheads then. Eight Richards.
Eight you would take.
Richard,
can I
just say, if you've done this on a regular basis, I would say the format of this perhaps is... you might want to change it to, can you name on the spot eight people
called
Richard?
That's what it is. That's partly what it is.
Okay.
I want you to... It's hard. You'll get to three and then you won't think be able to...
I'm struggling with one.
Okay.
Oh, I know you're called Richard. I just wouldn't take you with me.
You get me anyway.
I might need you for the ceremony that I've...
There would definitely be that on the desert island.
I'm not perverted. I would say... I'd say Richard Osman.
Yeah,
help me with the coconuts. I would take Richard the Lionheart.
Good.
Yes. Yeah. Because he's another Richard...
You know, do you know how he got that name?
His mum and dad called him Richard. Oh, the Lionheart. No, I don't know that.
He fucked a lion's heart.
Oh. Had he eaten the lion first?
Yes.
Well, that's fine, apparently. Dick and Dom.
Yeah, because you can't have Dom, you can have
but
Dick.
But they're one person, like Ant Dec. I'd need them both for rap making. Dick and Dom. I'd take... Rick Astley.
Good. That's good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And how many are we on now?
Four. Maybe five.
Is Dick Whittington a real person?
Yeah, he is. I've been to his house.
Oh, I don't want to take him. I'm just making idle conversation. I think it's Richard. You haven't really been to his house.
I have. It's down near... it's down in...
I thought he was a fictional character. Am I the...
No,
am
he was the Lord Mayor of London.
Was he?
Yeah.
Did he really have a cat?
He probably did have a cat.
But that's made up, right? Point. Did he really throw sweets at people? Because the one I saw did, he was violent. Really hard as well.
Yeah.
All I did was boo.
People are coming in out the street to hear the answers of your...
Richard Herring, Rick Mail.
I'm already there, Rick Mail.
Rick Mail. I'll take Rick Mail.
Can't have any help if you help from the audience. You have to do another
Richard
eight.
Hammond from the popular television programme Top Gear. Richard Hammond.
Can't have him.
Why?
You can have him, I said, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said I can't.
I know, I didn't speak very clearly. What I like about this question is it kind of
is
funny.
Is that the end of the format?
No, you can finish if you like. It's quite funny to begin with, and then it gets really boring. That's why I like it.
And yet, weirdly, that's the bit I really disliked. I wasn't massively keen on the beginning bit either. Yeah.
I like it, because then it's quite awkward.
It is awkward.
And then but then it's not just I do it once, I do it every single show. Is this exactly the same every show.
Is this how you pitch your TV ideas to the BBC?
Yeah. And then it gets really awkward, and then it'll just fizzle out.
Yeah. He didn't even get to eight.
No. But don't worry, if it goes quiet, I've got a moral question about a pig, and I can just whiz that in at any time during the CBeebies hour.
So you got into a bit of a spat with Stuart Lee, the comedian Stuart Lee.
I haven't got into a spat with Stuart Lee.
You started it.
I haven't got into a spat with Stuart
Lee. You have. He's done a routine about you.
Oh, on the TV show?
Yeah, you started it for once. Usually he starts it, and then you started it. You got in there.
No, I did. In my book, you mean? I did write a footnote that said... I can't remember what did I say.
It said he's a cultural bully from the Oxbridge Mafia. I wish I was a part
of
that.
Can I just
mafia.
Say, hand on heart, he's not mentioned at all in my book. If you'd have read it, Richard Herring, he's genuinely not mentioned at all, honestly.
Where does this come from, then?
Well, I think there is something. When I saw that, I was away at the time, I came back and saw it, and I did see that, and... I genuinely didn't know what he was on about because he's not mentioned in the book.
Right.
And then I read it back. And I read it and thought, oh, actually, yeah, maybe. Because I've got genuinely no memory of what I'm thinking when I'm writing this stuff.
Right.
But I read it and thought, oh, yeah, it sounds like I am referring to him in that. But I didn't say that.
Right.
I said something like it's bullying to take the mickey out of certain types of old school comics.
Right.
And I think I was alluding to a certain comic who we all know Nick's material.
Yes.
So I thought, but I'm not going to name him because that's bullying, like some comics bullying by saying that. And it was just a quick throwaway as a footnote, but I think he's took that as quite a personal thing.
Well, he usually does.
I didn't. I don't think I said. I can't remember what I said, but it was quite... I think it seemed milder than that, and it wasn't...
He wants to appeal morally superior, but can't cut the mustard on a panel game.
I never said... This... I think he'd do perfectly well on a panel game. Yeah. I just don't...
He wouldn't.
I think he's referring to an interview I did where... They like stirring things up the press. So I did an interview where I said... A lot of people... I mean, let's face it, if you're going to slag off panel games, you're not unique. It's quite a broad thing now. Yeah. I mean, your wife doesn't even watch them.
No, she won't watch them. She'll watch them if there's an equal amount of women, so no, she doesn't watch them.
No, so no one likes them. Not nobody, but they're not really a media-friendly thing, the panel games. And rightly so, there's a lot of them, and there's far too many in this. And so I did read... I don't know if this is what he's referring to, but I did do an interview with Sunday Times where I said... He said, a lot of people slag off panel games, don't they? And I go, yeah, but you know what? I sometimes think people slag them off and they couldn't cut the mustard on them. That's the problem, because they're not probably the right people to ask. If they might have selfish reasons for saying that. Yeah. Of course, when I read it back, it said, recently, comedians Stuart Lee and Charlie Higson slagged off panel games, but Lee Mack's not having that. And then said, yeah, okay. These people couldn't cut the mustard. I'm like, they didn't mention their names to me. But, you know, I genuinely like Stuart and I like Charlie Higson as well. I wouldn't say that about them. Don't get me wrong, there is some people I would say, oh, fuck off. But you know, it's tittle-tattle.
It is.
It's tittle-tattle. We're all proper comedy showbiz friends at the end of the day.
We are. Yeah. Did I get that part on Not Going Out that I auditioned for 6 years ago?
Have you talked about this before?
No.
Richard came in to audition for the part of Not Going Out.
For there to be the new Tim Vine?
Tim Vine left and we needed a new mate character.
Yeah,
and
I could do that.
Well, you just said comedians aren't real mates, so I don't think you carry that off. No, we auditioned different comics and... I mean, I could... A little bit of advice, if you don't mind me saying.
Yeah, no,
I would
please.
Probably not turn up pissed for an audition. and probably not open with the line, can we rattle through this, then we can talk money. I thought that was a little confident as an opener. I mean, you haven't even sat down and taken your coat off. But, to prove that... What happened was, I like to write around a comic. So, like, when Tim was in it, I wrote the part for Tim when Tim hadn't got the part. And he was supposed to be a Ferrari driving... banker.
Yeah.
The most unlikely person for Tim Vine to play. So he played that in the pilot.
Right.
We had to shave his head and give him stubble and say, we just need to slightly toughen you up a little bit. And we just realised it was stupid. So I wrote around him and it made me realise that that's the best way to do it. You audition the person and then write around them. So to prove that we didn't have a clue what we were looking for, in an hour we auditioned you
Reg D. Hunter and Scott Capurro. I think it's fair to say we didn't know what we were looking for.
It's interesting not going out, though, of course, because you did two or three series and then it was not going to happen anymore. Is that right? Was it
that point? We did three and then we got cancelled by the BBC for... we got cancelled full stop and then we got it back, so we'd missed a year, as it were.
Right. It's quite rare for them to change their mind.
Yes, I
suppose. Was it the same person? It wasn't even
the
person
changed.
Same
person who commissioned it then brought it back, so that was quite surprising, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, after the first two series, I genuinely thought it would be cancelled, and then after the third one, I thought, we've properly... Because I never used to get recognised, and then on the third series, I suddenly started getting recognised. In fact, the first time I got lots of recognition was in the London Aquarium, and I was with the kids. It happened occasionally, but not much. But to suddenly get it happen a lot in an hour,
yeah.
I was like, my God, I think this show is actually... People are watching this show and it's meaning something because they recognise me. And the kids... I like to avoid the showbiz world with the children. And they said, why are those people asking for your photograph and stuff? And I didn't... Without thinking, I went, because I used to be quite a well-known fisherman because I'm in the aquarium. And they went, really? I went, yeah, just... And then it was only afterwards I thought... If I was a fisherman who was dragging them out of the water and killing them, the people in the aquarium would probably hate me rather than like me, wouldn't they? But it just came out of my mouth. I panicked because they never used to watch any fit I used to do. So, I don't know, stupid, isn't it?
But,
yeah, no.
But see, I think it's interesting that I think, like with a lot of sitcoms, they don't give. I mean, three series is a fair punt, to be fair, but they don't give a lot of things the chance to bed in. And it does take a little while, I think.
It needs a bit of time. And I think. The thing is, it's a BBC One sitcom, and it's on a, you know, fairly prime time. So you don't, they don't. When we got cancelled, I wish we'd stayed on BBC. It was commissioned for BBC Two originally.
Yeah.
That was the pilot, and they said, actually, we like this, put it on BBC One. And so I remember thinking, I regret that now. If we'd done BBC Two, they'd probably let it go for a while. But on BBC One, they're a bit more. They need certain viewing figures and stuff, and that was the problem. It just didn't get the viewing figures that you're supposed to get on BBC One.
Yeah,
which is a lot, and we got not a lot. Sound like Paul Daniels.
But then it picked up, or they just thought, we don't care.
Yeah, and then they got cancelled, and then our management, John Thoday at Avalon, who I believe you know well.
You should leave Avalon.
You've not left them, have you?
No, I haven't. No.
All right.
It's a reference back to something that happened in the past. It's all right.
Okay.
You should stay with Avalon, they're good. I have to say that.
Right.
Because they'll sue me otherwise.
See, now I'm completely confused. No. I'm going to go home and my wife will say, how was it? And I go, Richard gave me some important advice. But I don't know which way to go now because he said, leave them, then don't leave them. And he also said, I should leave you, love, and then not leave you. So I don't know what to do here. So just to play safe, I'm staying with Avalon and leaving you. You'll have to feed yourself tonight.
Are you going to do some more? You're married now in the sitcom.
I'm married. We got married. We
about bloody time.
Thank you.
You're an old man. You shouldn't be.
Yeah, it's wrong, isn't it? Because I started writing this sitcom way before it was on telly, and so I was probably about 30, maybe 30. Yeah, 30. Or 30, early 30s, basing it on what I was like as 25 or 26. And when I was younger, I was always sleeping on people's sofas and didn't have a job and didn't, you know, I was always dossing at people's houses and sort of living that life of being with somebody that's quite better off than me, who's got a job and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's
free apricots, though.
I was apricot picking, yes. But then I suddenly thought, you know, if you're playing a character lusting after your landlady who's 10 years younger, that's, I think, comedy and quite sweet. At 30, I'm now approaching 50. It starts to become a bit weird, doesn't it? Well, you know.
I do know.
You're a bit older than me. You're not 50, are you?
I'm 48.
Are you? So I'm 47. Yeah. So, you know, when you're your age, you've got to stop doing it. I'm all right for another year, but it's the cut-off, they call it the Richard Herring cut-off point. 48 is considered now perverted.
Yeah. I stopped when I was 40.
I carried on. Well,
In
the story, I carried on. So I was still...
That would have been a revelation.
It would have been a revelation. I've been a pervert. Thank you. So I stopped it and I decided to marry them off. And they got married. Everyone assumed it was the end of the series. And now I'm writing a Christmas special for this year. And then we're going to see how it goes. Because you've all always got one extra story of marriage. If you know, will they, won't they? And, of course, there's one other obvious story to do, isn't there?
Will you murder her? That would be a brilliant
end. And this, Richard, is the single reason why you didn't get to write on my family.
just as you're about to get married, you just go, you just kill her. She agrees to marry you finally, and then you murder her.
And then the theme music to Terry and Jude comes up.
But it would be a good sitcom, you know. You, but a lot of your material in the stand-up, or some of your material in the stand-up, is about you being a family man and being frustrated with your kids and wife a little bit while still obviously loving them, and that's going to be a
yeah. Well, that's
a great
what I just
sitcom,
thought. I just thought, you know, what do I know about now? And I don't know about being 25, dossing on the sofa, and so I thought I'll write about maybe the family. But I'm not necessarily doing it. We're doing a Christmas special,
yeah.
And I always do that thing where I struggle to write anything romantic because I'm a repressed Northern man.
Yeah.
So any like with the wedding, I thought, how am I going to do this? I've written for 10 years a sitcom or 9 years that has never really shown any romance because it's a will they won't they. We never say it.
Yeah.
But now we're getting married. On the wedding day, the days you have to... And I couldn't handle the mawkishness of it. So I did an episode where I'm locked in a prison cell all day and I actually don't speak to her for the whole episode. The only time I meet is right at the end of the aisle with loads of music playing. Quick kiss, we're out. Never spoke to her once in the episode. How repressed am I?
And you're in prison even before you
I
get
was
married.
In prison. So now we're doing the Christmas special of... And now she's... don't want to give it away, but it's the first 30 seconds.
She's got fat.
She knows she's proper. She's a proper actor. She bows a lot.
I tell you what you should do.
She's done a trolley dash at Greg's.
What you should do a sitcom about? Why don't you do a sitcom where you are a centurion? Because you've already got the picture.
I've got the poster.
Yeah, that's it.
I've got the poster. I wouldn't mind if you said, that's what I should do.
Yeah.
I should paint on 8 o'clock the Pleasance. And then people go, sorry, it's a show. Because at the moment it just looks like I'm mad. I think there's even a crucifix behind. I'm the one that, you know, the one that helped him. With the cloth, the wet cloth thing. That's what I'm saying I am.
Yeah.
I'm like the bloke that helped Jesus. That's me. Come in. Look at the pig. Eat the pig.
Well, unfortunately, we are going to have to let you go back and wash your children and any horses' penises that may be...
Can you make sure this isn't edited, is it?
No.
Good, because I thought if you edit the first bit out about washing the horse's penis, I'll just keep that in. It's not a great way to end. Well, you've got to let you go and wash your horse's penis, Elizabeth Taylor.
Thank you very much for coming in. It's been lovely to see you again.
Thank you. I'm genuinely excited that I didn't know I was getting paid.
You are getting...
This is the right result.
Do you know how much you get? £250 plus VAT.
No way. I don't bother with that. I'm all cash. I don't do the VAT.
Yeah, OK.
I think in this climate on the BBC, that's considered a minor crime.
OK, ladies and gentlemen,
Just to be absolutely clear,
at
the VAT on, I will be... we live in an age now where just... Not even as a joke.
Just to be clear.
Well, it's all right if it's a joke. Like, fuck a pig, don't pay your tax.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Lee Mack.
Hello.
Lee Mack.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Goodbye. It's over.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest Lee Mack. The music is by Pest. Thank you to everyone at Leicester Square Theatre and everyone at GoFasterStrike.com as well. They are fantastic. Go check out all the stuff that they have got. It's produced by Dave Cribb. It's a fuzz. GoFasterStrike.com and Go and Sky Potato production for the internet. Tell your friends if you've enjoyed it.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Thanks for listening. Do come and see me on tour. RichardHerring.com/gigs is the easiest way to find out where I'm going. And GoFasterStripe.com. You can buy books and downloads. And just tell your friends about the podcast. If you can't make it to the tour show, if you don't want to buy any products, then every time you listen to an advert, you're helping us make more podcasts with a very, very tiny micro payment. So thank you very much for that. I love you all. It's lovely to meet you on tour, by the way. Hello to everyone who said hello so far. I do come and say hello after the show if enjoyed it, if you want to see me. That'd be nice. You can get a selfie. I don't care. I'm a selfie whore. All right, see you soon.